Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
We're joined in the studio by two people who haven't got a...
There's
no fecal matter on either of these people.
Oh my God, as is commonly said.
Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
But I feel a bit nauseous after that now, to be honest.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
where do you go
great.
From there?
What?
Where do you go from there?
That's to clean one's hands is where you go from there. Now, first question is this. I work in a very male-heavy environment. I work in accounts, which is well known for its macho environment. Anyway, I work in accounts and I'm in an office on my own. Everyone else is in an open plan part of the office and it can be quite isolating. The men I work with the most are always talking about nights out they've had and relaying some of the jokes to me. It never occurs to them that I might actually like to go on these nights out. They never seem to include me. I'm their best friend when they need something. They're forever asking for favours to rush things through, but they completely forget about me after that. I'm a bit sick of it, so I stopped going out of my way for them and doing them favours. I know this has impacted their work, and they don't seem that happy that now they have to be on time with things all the time, and it's the only power move I have. I feel bad, but what else can I do? I'm sick of being taken advantage of.
I love the way she describes it as a male-heavy environment. I have this vision of an office full of fat accountants.
Fat men accountants.
I think
that she's the one who works in the accounts department, and she is the accounts department, and everybody else is doing a different job.
Oh, maybe, yeah,
that's
okay.
The impression I got.
Think so, yeah.
Maybe.
She's the accounts department.
Okay.
Right. And if it is a woman, she doesn't say she's a woman, but...
Yeah, I think that's a fair guess. I'd be fairly sure it is. Anyway, I'm kind of having trouble getting my head around the fact that she thought the best way to ingratiate herself with the male colleagues who are all going on these nights out is to stop cooperating with them during the day.
That'll show them.
I think that's a bit counterproductive. And obviously she thinks that the guys are kind of deliberately leaving her out and just going out and having these great nights and telling her the jokes when they come back in. And I understand how that is making her feel a bit left out. But... I would imagine that it actually has never dawned on them that she might, and that's why I think she is a woman, that she might want to be included. And I mean, in the lad's defence, and as you know, I don't often defend lads.
This is true.
I tend to come down the other side. But in the lad's defence, not every woman would relish going out on her own and being the only woman in a crowd of lads going out for a few drinks. So I would say that it never struck them that she might be interested in accompanying them on their nights out. So I think advice, you've got to stop this non-cooperation because that's only just going to make things like a million times worse. Whatever chance you had of going out with them on a night out is decreasing rapidly as long as you're annoying them by not doing them the favours that you used to do. But again, I think that you're going to have to be upfront about this and tell them that you'd like to go. Or maybe you arrange a night out and say, like, you know, who's up for going for a drink after work or something like that. So to start opening their eyes to the fact that you're obviously up for this and you want to be included as part of the gang. But if you carry on doing what you're doing, like, the whole thing is going to go down the pan.
Yeah.
No, it's true. But the one thing I'll say is that the work environment that all of those people are in already has that weird imbalance of gender that would be the one time when it wouldn't be so strange for her to be the only woman going out on a social night already. Do you know what I'm saying?
No.
They come to work and it's a very male-dominated space with the one woman there, and that's the daytime. So to transpose that exact same scenario into the evening time shouldn't be that weird unless they're all real gendered in their
mind. The
only
thing is, I don't think she's the only... I mean, she's obviously I don't think she's the only woman because she said she's in this male-heavy environment. There's obviously other women there as well, but obviously most of her close colleagues are male.
Yeah.
And they're the ones who she wants to hang out with.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. So if it's like, you know, you're in a room with the two of us, and for us to be in the pub afterwards in the same configuration wouldn't be that strange. But if there's 10 more...
Yeah, you know what I mean? You'll be out with me and Declan, we're slapping each other on the back, talking about football, looking at birds.
Go right there, Sean. So on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Right, yeah.
There goes that my idea for the Christmas party.
back to
the drawing board.
Dang.
But look, you know, the gender thing is something that I, you know, personally... Because I have, you know, my own worldview there, I kind of dismiss that. I think there's a bit, it irritates me a little bit that when people choose to use the pillars of gender to kind of separate things out when it's convenient for them, and then when it's not convenient for them, they want them to not be
there
at
all.
Sorry,
I'm not clear. So who are you thinking is doing that, her or them?
No, I'm not saying anybody is doing that. I'm saying that people are assuming that those things exist.
Okay.
And sometimes by assuming that the architecture of patriarchy is there and it's
good
not
grief.
Part of your own creation,
okay.
You've got nothing to do with making that yourself. Her behaviour is contributing to that scenario just as much as the men. That's what I'm saying.
Is it patriarchy? It could also be they see her as a junior to them in the office. And so, you know, they tell her to do stuff and she's sitting there because she works by herself in accounts, by the sounds of it, or with a very small group of people.
Do you not think, though, that if you were in an office situation and it was mainly guys
who
hung out together, that they would just not even, it would never even dawn on them that Mary would want to go with them?
But isn't that the same
thing? Mary being on her tod?
That if Mary came along, Mary maybe wouldn't enjoy it. And there's a fair chance she wouldn't enjoy
it. Exactly.
But it's almost like, well, you could have asked so I could not enjoy it.
Yeah.
Which actually could actually be at the core of this whole thing. Anyway, it is that kind of like, well, why are you not asking me? I'm still having to hear about it for an hour the next day. So, you know, and it could be that. So my point being, though, that I think that the only way for her to overcome that would be to just go, I'm going to be the only woman in the pub with the lads and I'm going to force myself in that situation.
So how does she do that? Does she tell them I want to go the next time you're going?
Because she's kind of acting like she wants to be asked, which is also a little bit gendered. You have to ask me because I'm the lady. Well, no.
I don't think that's
ask
gendered.
Ask yourself in.
No, I don't think that's gendered. I think if they were all men working in the office and there was one guy left out, he would still have to ask to be included. He couldn't
I think that's true. Well, I think that's true. Though,
but it would be
a lot of people are
apparent.
Texting in, though, along the lines of that she expects, you know, them to be mind readers. Rather, like, you know, and this happens with the person you love if you're in a heterosexual relationship, that oftentimes, you know, the woman
the
has
truth?
To go.
Exactly. Yeah,
so so she has to tell them if she wants to go out and see what happens.
No subtleties, really.
Yeah,
work.
No subtleties.
No, you've got to be straight.
That's where I'm going with this. So you have to actually sometimes go, I'd love to come along some night.
Okay, so we're all agreed on that. We all got there by different routes.
Yeah.
But we're all agreed.
Well, that's how the truth evolves and emerges.
Right, so, say it to them. My girlfriend of 2.5 years lives abroad in Ghent, and it takes me about 5 hours door to door to see her. It's just a temporary thing, she says, but I'm going to get fed up. She plans to come home in May. I've gone to see her 5 times since August and sent her gift packages, but she has never come to see me, and she won't even stay up 30 minutes later to call me when I finish late from work. When we were both in Ireland, it was a great relationship, but now I'm beginning to question things. She's become so selfish, and I'm getting nothing out of this relationship anymore. Should I end it now and stop wasting my money on flights, or wait till she's back and see how things are then?
Oh, bless him.
Yeah, I mean, look, on one side I want to be all positive, but on the other side, you know,
I know where
the truth evolves in this. Look, relationships often don't survive this long distance thing.
Yeah.
Many do, but I mean, it's because people, when you take them out of the environment where the relationship was flourishing and put them somewhere else, particularly if it's a new adventure for one of the parties, they start doing other stuff. It may not be that their feelings towards the other party has changed. It's just that their feelings about what they're doing are taking a priority. If she's not returning your calls, if she's not engaging with the relationship in that way, then things have changed from her perspective. And maybe she just doesn't want to say it bluntly. But I wouldn't be wasting my money on Ryanair flights over to Belgium to be seeing her. I'd push the ball into her park. I don't know if I'd be breaking up straight away. I'd just cool the jets and be casual. Because you're still going to have... He is still... I think it's a guy. He's still going to have the same sense of loss, regardless of whether it's a clean break or whether it's a... I'm not going to pick up the phone kind of a scenario. So, because it could be that all that is required is a little readjustment.
The thing that fascinates me, being an owl one, about relationships nowadays is these guys have been going out for 2.5 years.
Mm.
Like, that's a long time in my book.
And no ring.
And, well, no. Oh, that's true, Sean. Yeah, it's no, true. It's just like, how do you go out with somebody for 2.5 years and not be able to talk about stuff, not be able to pick up the phone and go, what's the story? I've gone over to see you 5 times and sent you all these gifts and you haven't come back to see me at all. I don't get that. So that's the first thing. But that said, and I mean, my first reaction was, yeah, like, forget it. You know, she's gone. She's moved on. And I mean, I do think what Declan said is right. If you go and move into a new country, your energy is all going to be on settling into that new country, learning new ways, making new friends, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Changing.
There is a possibility that she's just kind of taken him for granted. In other words, he keeps popping over. That suits me fine because I've plenty enough to be getting on with here. So I would totally agree. I think the best advice would be to dial it back, cool it off a little bit. Don't break it off, because if you stop your coming over willy-nilly every couple of weeks, which is obviously what you've been doing, and if you stop sending her gifts, it may be that she suddenly wakes up and goes, oh, what's happened? I need to pay more attention to this relationship. And, you know, it may kind of get things back on track. But if it doesn't, it's curtains.
Yeah.
It's finito.
One person.
Well, presumably it's coming up to Christmas. She'd be back for the Christmas. So
she said she's not coming back till May. She might not be coming back for Christmas.
Oh, crikey. Mm. But then does he buy her, you know, a Christmas present? Like, especially if it might be curtains, you know.
Not a big one.
Yeah, why would you waste money?
Well, I wouldn't post it over. Yeah. I keep the gift receipt.
Yeah, I have a lovely present for you. When you come back in May, you can see it then.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. I share an apartment with my best friend. He's gone through a tough time recently after the death of both his parents. He's been in a really bad way, but seems to be a lot happier of late. He puts that down to his ex-girlfriend coming back on the scene. While I'm happy to see him back to some normality, I can't say that I'm happy to see him back with her. Actually, I've always hated her and was glad when they broke up. All she ever did was use my friend as a glorified ATM. He's just taking advantage of my friend feeling so low after his recent losses. She never got on with his parents, yet now she's all talk about them. He says that she has been his saviour during these dark times, and if she left now, he wouldn't be able to cope. I can see she's only using him again for money and staying around our apartment. How can I make him see that she's no good for him without setting him back in his recovery?
You can't really, because, you know, I mean, this guy has been through, you know, a particularly awful thing, losing both of his parents in a short period of time. He's obviously grieving and he's obviously in, you know, a tough place. And it, you know, to me, it's whatever it takes to get you through that tough space. And if it is your ex-girlfriend who, and it's only the friend's view that we have of the ex-girlfriend, that she's, she says straight up that she always hated her, which is pretty strong language. But if she's helping him to get through this particularly awful time, well, then I think that if you're a proper friend, you've got to just stand back and you've just got to keep your mouth shut and let him do whatever it is that he wants to do. I mean, she may be using him, which would be a particularly horrible thing to do to somebody who is in the situation that this guy is in. But the bottom line is that she's helping him to feel better. And it's possible that when he starts to feel a bit more normal again, that he'll see her for what she is, this friend is right and she is really just using him, and he will move on. But either way, she is a friend. This is not the time to start, I think, sticking your oar in and saying she's no good for you, get rid of her. You know, he's hanging on, and if she's helping him, I would say leave it alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. It's not an objective truth that this woman is a bad person. That's your idea of what she's like.
See, I'd sound so much more intelligent if I said things like objective truth on a
regular
basis.
Yeah, see, he just slips out. He has a list of phrases on the phone. Yeah.
I don't know what it means.
I need to up my game big time. Yeah.
Oh, don't be so sanctimonious.
Yeah. What is that word?
Yeah. Word of the day.
Yeah. Talking about patriarchy.
Yeah, whatever. The thing about relationships, though, is that, you know, if you started telling everybody that their partners weren't good enough. I mean, you'd never stop telling people that their relationships were bad.
That's true. Yeah. And nobody has. We're always saying, what do we always say?
We're not
Declan?
Perfect. Nobody's perfect.
No, we don't. We say that. We also say that we never know what goes on inside somebody else's relationship. You never know.
Now, if this person is right, and they say that that she's been using him as a glorified ATM, right? Now, his parents have both died. So maybe he's inherited some money. So are we potentially looking at a much larger chunk of money that this girlfriend could extract from him? And only then does he realise, oh, hang on, she was only here for the cash.
But I don't know if
And that
people,
might set him back further.
Yeah. I mean, I hadn't thought of that. And that is a possibility. But I don't think that people who are grieving necessarily become that stupid either. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, if he's picking up the tab for the taxi home and the dinner out and the cinema tickets, That I wouldn't worry about. But I mean, if she's going to seriously try and inveigle like thousands out of him, well, then certainly that is a time when you would have to, as a friend.
And at the end of the day, it's his money, and he could be. True. You know, I got into a whole pile of money and I blew it on. Whatever.
Did you?
No, I didn't. But if somebody came into a whole lot of money and they went off to Russia or whatever and they spent money on women and drugs and cigars, that's their thing to do. And, you know, you can tell them, you can tell people that their choices are bad, but you can't force them to do a course of action that you think
but
is
I think
right
in that case she would be entitled to tell him that his choice was bad. If she thought there was thousands like being squandered away, then fine. But if it's just
if
the normal
there is a large
stuff,
amount of money on the line, saying something like, I hope you're putting something away for a rainy day, or you're
love,
you know, investing it wisely, is a lot less toxic than saying your one's taking you to the cleaners, because that's just way more dangerous.
Going back to the fellow with the girlfriend who's living abroad, when I mentioned a Christmas present, somebody texting to say, well, definitely don't buy our curtains. I think there would be a message there if they did buy the curtains. That would be curtains for you. I got your curtains.
It took me a while to get that.
Yeah, I think that would be. I think they should get them curtains.
Net curtains.
And see what the.
It's very expensive to post curtains to Belgium. Lined curtains.
Just say you've bought curtains. You don't have to post them.
Oh, you don't have to buy them then.
Yeah, you don't even have to.
You just say you bought curtains.
But, and then they go, oh.
Yeah.
And that's the end of that.
That's the end of it.
Yeah, I think this is draw this to a close.
Oh! Byron Declan, thank you both very much for taking a break. Back in a sec.
Moncrief on News Talk
with the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.